Our text for this morning's consideration comes from the Gospel of John, starting with the 15th chapter, the 26th verse, and ending with the 16th chapter, the 4th verse. These words are from the Lord Jesus to his disciples as he provides comfort. We read, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." So far our text, we pray that the Holy Spirit bless our study of it. But when the Helper comes, this word helper comes from the Greek word paraclete. No, it is not a small, colorful bird that mimics human speech, but this term paraclete is used to depict the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God. And this term paraclete describes the essential function of God, the Holy Ghost. The word paraclete denotes many wonderful qualities. It can mean helper, comforter, counselor, advocate, protector. It portrays a character who offers firm and loving security. And how does he do this? He uses the word, first to witness to the warnings of Christ showing us our sin, but then witnessing Christ and his cure offered on the cross to take away our sin. And why does Christ mention this to his disciples? He's preparing them for a world of hardship. So the paraclete uses Christ's words of hardship first of all. What is this hardship exactly? Jesus spells it out for us in the second verse of our text. "They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God." This is what the hatred will look like. This is what the hardship will look like. This is the cross that Christ's disciples will have to bear. They will put you out of the synagogue. The apostles of Jesus would be put out of the church, in other words, wrongfully excommunicated, if you will. And not only that, but they may even be murdered in the name of divine service. And Jesus said these things to his disciples to keep them from falling away. Yet, what did the disciples do? Peter said three times to his Lord that he would not deny him, or said that he would not deny him, but then the Lord prophesied that he would deny him three times, and sure enough, he did when the pressure came upon him. The 11 of Jesus ran away in fear when their Savior suffered, thinking and of the frightful prospects of what the world would do to them. And Jesus spoke of these hardships and that they would come, and he did that to keep them from falling away, yet they did anyway. In our day and age, these hardships are the same. A similar flavor to it. There will be those who hate us, mock us, and may even cast us out. We know from our Lord that the life of a Christian is not an automatic, cushiony life, but rather a life of pushing and shoving and pain at times. Our Lord tells us this time and time again to give us a reality check so that we don't fall away. Yet, are we better than the disciples? How many of us have acted like Peter and the rest by running away, maybe denied our Lord? Maybe friends were mocking God and you didn't speak up. Maybe your friends acted in sinful behavior and you kept silent, or maybe even joined in because you didn't want to be ridiculed. Or perhaps you're the opposite, and like a moral crusader, were violent in some way back. If they mock me and my faith because they think it's funny, well, I'll show them. Or if we had a thought enter our mind, laugh all you want, but you won't be laughing later. And if we do that, then we're no better than them. putting down others in thought, word, and deed, and supposedly in the name of God. And whether we fall into the category of cowardly pushover or brutal crusader, our sinful flesh bends and breaks from the hatred and disdain of the world. And is it our Savior's fault? God, you didn't make me stronger. God, you're not making this easy. We were warned. This world will hate us, and the more the world's pressures trip us up, the closer and closer we slip to the evil world itself. Christ warns us, and he warns us time and time again in these hours of opposition. With these words, we have no excuse. And that's the warning of the Paraclete through the words of Jesus. But why does the Paraclete tell the disciples that? Jesus tells his disciples that he is leaving them. He is leaving them to accomplish a purpose that he came for, namely the cure. He then is witness to, by the Holy Spirit, this cure that he offers on the cross. He is leaving them to provide the cure to every time they slipped up to these pressures. He hadn't told them about these pressures before because he was there to protect them. How? Think of every time a Pharisee, Sadducee, or a rich man confronted Jesus. Every time Jesus didn't waver or cave to the pressure, and every time he was ridiculed, threatened, and cursed, he stood his ground and witnessed himself as the Savior of the world. Rejected by priest and Pharisee, ostracized by church leaders, yet he still witnessed to himself as the Messiah, and he did it on our behalf. Never caving to pressure, he held his witness on our behalf. He did it for us. For every time that we slipped up, he kept it perfectly. And his witness doesn't stop there. His ultimate witness was when he let himself be murdered by those who claimed to be doing divine service. He died to purchase our salvation from death and hell, and he did this so that we could be forgiven of every time we fell into those sinful pressures. When hardships from the world came and pushed us down, the Savior has reminded us through the words of the Paraclete, he has lifted us up. He forgave Peter and the 11, and he has forgiven you all as well. Thus far, we have discussed plenty about the hardships of Christian life and the work of Christ, but it might seem a little off topic. What does that have to do with the Paraclete again? Well, that's exactly how the Paraclete works. He works through the word presented, exposing sin and showing us our Savior. He witnesses Christ and his warnings and how we've broken them. But then he witnesses Christ and his cure and shows us salvation. Jesus explains, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." The Spirit of truth shows us our Savior and how we have been cleansed by him. And by this word and by baptism and the Lord's Supper, he comes to help us, comfort us, and bear witness to Christ and his cleansing sacrifice. Christ has forgiven us, and that is the comfort of the Paraclete. This is the message of the Spirit of truth. This is the everlasting and comforting promise of the Paraclete, the one who comes from the Father, our Creator, the one who comes from our Shepherd, Savior, and Salvation, Jesus Christ. This Holy Spirit creates in us by God's word that faith that clings to Jesus, and by doing so comforts us. The Paraclete is the one who brings us back to Jesus time and time again through these hardships of life. And Jesus gave all his disciples these parting words and this parting gift, and he doesn't leave us to our own devices. He gives us the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Ghost, in order to guide us to the Word and show us Christ. So what then is the Paraclete? He's the greatest witness and messenger there is. He is the penetrator of dark hearts, the comforter of all Christianity, the strength of every message. He is God, the Holy Spirit, one eternal with Father and Son, our helper, comforter, counselor, our paraclete. Amen. We'll close with hymn 235, verse 1.